The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Well, good morning, church. I hope that you are doing well today, because I'm doing okay, you know? So my name is Devin, and I've been the lead pastor here for a number of years, but today is my last Sunday as a pastor here at Summerside. So my goal today is to encourage you from Scripture, to share some stories, to remember well together God's goodness and God's faithfulness. You know, I can still remember over 10 years ago, driving down Commissioners here, hauling a U-Haul. The GPS said we were only 1.5 kilometers from our destination. Our destination was an apartment that we were renting in London, a city that I had only ever been to really once before, a city that we knew no one apart from a few family members. We were pulling the U-Haul, coming off the 401, up Highbury, turned on to Commissioners. And while the GPS was saying just 1.5 kilometers from your destination, we saw a church. And as we drove past, I said, you know what? I'd like to be the lead pastor of that. No, just kidding. As we drove by, I said, you know what? There's a church right here in our neighborhood. Let's check it out our first Sunday. I had done pastoral ministry before. I had, you know, done my grad degree in theological studies and so forth. So we showed up here one Sunday, and we fully anticipated that we would try a few different churches, right? Now, I hate the term church shopping, right? We're not consumers, right? But I get what people mean by that. So if you've said that to me, no, you're not dead to me. I haven't written you off. You know, I'm not going to rebuke you, but you understand that there's something icky about that term. But we thought that we would look around for a place that we could get plugged in. So we came to Summerside our first Sunday, and we never left. I don't quite remember what the sermon was about that Sunday. I know it was biblical. It was solid. I don't remember what worship songs we sang that day. I knew that they were Christ-focused, that they were lifted from the pages of Scripture. But I don't remember what the text was that Pastor Mark was preaching on. I don't remember the songs that we sang that Sunday. But here's what I do remember. I remember you. My wife and I showed up and we were greeted warmly. We began to connect. We had people that invited us into their home. We had people who would invite us to go downtown and, you know, go out for wings, go out in the evening, just an opportunity to begin connecting. And we loved it. It meant so much to us coming to a new city to have friends and connections that we were making. It was special to us. During that time, my educational plans didn't quite work out how I anticipated because I dropped out. But we're in London for no apparent reason. We were plugged into the church. We were enjoying it. And I began to talk to Pastor Mark and meet with him and just kind of sharing a little bit more about my story, my background, where I've served in ministry, and kind of invited him to keep his ears open if he found a position for me somewhere to let me know and maybe I'd apply. During that time, however, as we began to get more and more connected, we didn't really want to leave. I sat there on Sundays thinking to myself, man, it kind of stinks that, you know, Mark's out there trying to find me a job, and I don't really want to leave this church. And, you know, we just trust God with that. One Sunday, I kid you not, sitting right over here, Heather leans over to me during the service, and she says, I think you're going to work here someday. And I was like, woman, you best be a prophet who knows, because I don't want to stone you or, you know, church elder discipline thing or something. But she had this sense, I believe, given to her by God, that there was a future here. Now, about a week after that, Pastor Mark approached me and said, would you be interested in taking a position here at Summerside? He didn't tell me what the role was yet. And before he told me what I would be doing, what my compensation would be, what the perks were, I was like, yes, of course, I'll do anything, anything. Luke and I were actually hired on the same day. And here we are now, 10 years later. And I'm thankful. It's been a great 10 years. And we'll get into that. And I want to share with you a few stories. But I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, Devin, why? Why are you dressed like that? And you know what? I want to go out with a bang. And I want you to remember me like this. So here's my goal today. My goal today is to encourage you from Scripture. My goal today is to share with you a few stories of God's goodness and grace. And then I'm going to conclude with a few words about what I really just want to say. Because I'm not coming back. It would be an HR nightmare for the elders to fire me at this point, right? So I'm just going to shoot from the hip and share with you. I won't name names, but I'll make it obvious enough who I'm talking about. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So let me start with this. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I've been reflecting on these verses quite a bit recently. And they've been a comfort to my heart for a number of reasons. And I trust that they'll comfort yours. Let me start with this. Why I'm excited about the future of Summerside. Why am I excited about the future of Summerside? Well, let me read to you 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. This is the word of the Lord. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. This is God's word for us. So why am I excited about the future of Summerside? Here's the first reason. Jesus Christ is Lord and King. Whew! Do you have any idea how much of a weight and what a pressure that is off of your shoulders? Off of my shoulders. Jesus Christ is Lord and King. Look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, Jesus is the ultimate and final authority of every church, of the church. He is the ultimate lead pastor, the senior minister of every congregation. This church and no church can be built on one personality. A church cannot be built on one person, no matter how gifted they may be. Jesus Christ is Lord and King. Do you recognize that in your Christian life, this is a truth that has multiple applications? I would dare even say endless applications. What rest there is in this truth that Jesus is Lord, that he is King, that he is your ultimate pastor. It doesn't matter if it's a health situation, if it's financial ruin that you're facing, if it's uncertainty about the future. Man, Jesus Christ is Lord and King. He is sovereign. He is in control. And you and I can rest there. Jesus loves this church more than you do. Jesus loves this church more than I do. Jesus wants good for this church more than you do. He is concerned, Summerside, about your purity, your holiness, your love, your imitation of Christ, your mission as you walk in obedience to Him in your everyday lives. God is involved not just in the big stuff, but in the minutia as well. I mean, we live in a complex, changing, and chaotic world. This truth that Jesus is Lord and King needs to be quick to your memory. It needs to be something that you call on, that you lean into. He is Lord and King. I have no way of explaining why in the world I'm here. I can remember, it's kind of an embarrassing story. I can remember sitting with my wife in our dingy apartment in Heartland, New Brunswick, in the middle of nowhere, and crying at the table because I was convinced that I would never get a good education and that I would never be able to pastor a good church. And as I look back on how God has opened doors and how He has worked in my life, I can claim nothing. Jesus Christ is Lord and King. I'm excited about seeing Him shepherd His people here at Summerside for the future. Here's the second reason why I'm excited about the future of Summerside. You have good and godly elders that are united. In this section of 1 Peter, he's talking to elders. He tells them, be shepherds of God's flock. He doesn't say, be good CEOs of God's flock. Be really sharp visionaries over God's flock. He calls on the elders to be shepherds. To shepherd, not their flock, but God's flock. Not to do it for dishonest gain. Not lording it over the people, but serving them, but caring for them, but loving them. I interact and meet with many pastors at conferences, seminars, just grabbing lunch here and there. Do you have any idea how fortunate Summerside is to have the elders that we have? They are good, they are godly, and they are united. You know, in all of my time at Summerside, I have never seen an elder respond fleshly to one another in our meetings. Of course we disagree and we have debates and discussions about it, but the level of maturity, like Christian maturity in the discourse, has been a beautiful thing for me to behold. And in our meetings, we don't just talk business and budget and butts in the seat. We talk about people. And we pray for people. And I see them carry the weight of people's hurt and intercede for them in prayer and through service. It has been an honor for me to serve alongside of these individuals. And they're united. And this is so important. You know, I have obviously no hand in the selection and identification of a new incoming senior pastor. But I trust these men. And I trust that whoever they choose, as led by the Spirit of God, will be a man who loves the Word of God, who submits to the Word of God, and who preaches the Word of God. There's no left turn coming up, right? There's no giant right-handed, unannounced turn coming up. I trust them because they are united, and they're good, and they're godly. It's been an honor to walk beside them. The only problem that I've ever had with our elders, if I can be brutally honest, is that for some reason I can never sleep after our elders' meetings. And so it's like I lose a whole day the next day. So I'm not sure what that is, but that's just something they need to fix. Now, Jesus is King and Lord. You have good and godly elders that are united. And I also am excited about the future of Summerside because you have good and godly staff that are united. Do you know that in our church, between the two locations, we have not done an outside hire in over 10 years? Some of you are counting back, being like, what that means, my friends, is that we have done a good job as a church in identifying potential leaders, in raising them up and giving them opportunities to succeed and giving them feedback and evaluation. 10 years without an outside hire. And it has been a joy to walk with our staff. I can say without a doubt that I would hire every one of them in whatever church I landed in. I won't. Right? Don't worry. Just a big package deal, right? But they're good. They're godly. And we're united. They're good. So they're effective. They're careful. They read books to help them be better and more effective in their roles. Like we provided feedback. They are good. But they're also godly. Do you recognize what a gift this is? That our children's ministry is not designed to simply entertain them while you are here getting the main show. Our youth ministry isn't just rah-rah pie in the face. It's rah-rah pie in the face and a whole lot of Jesus. That they think deeply about spiritual formation. That they care deeply about your children, about your youth. That they are good and godly and united. It has been an absolute honor to work with each one of them. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 29, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi and he's encouraging them. And we'll turn there in just a little bit. But in this passage, in chapter 2, he's talking about his friend Epaphroditus, who's a gospel worker, who's a co-laborer with him in the gospel. And Paul says, listen, this guy is awesome. Such people deserve honor, he says. And in many of Paul's personal letters, when you get to the end of Romans or the end of 1 Corinthians, Paul lists off specific people that have worked well for the gospel to identify them, to encourage them. And I want to do that for our staff. You know, can I be honest with you? Being a pastor is one of the greatest privileges of my life. I really feel that way. I feel completely honored, humbled, amazed, terrified, excited, scared, a mix. I feel a lot of stuff about this calling. And I've loved it. But it can be discouraging. Be very careful with your criticism of the staff or elders in the next 6 months. There's uncertainty. There's a process in place to locate and to find a new lead pastor. Here's an idea. Be slow with criticism and quick with encouragement. Many of their individual portfolios and their job descriptions are going to expand as I depart. They're already working hard. So encourage them, care for them, love them, and be very careful with your criticisms. Honor such people, Paul says. I'm excited about the future of Summerside because Jesus is Lord and King, because you have good and godly elders that are united, because there are good and godly staff here that are united. And finally, I'm excited about the future because by God's grace, there is a beautiful gospel culture here. You see, we get up on Sundays as pastors and we preach gospel doctrine, gospel truth, gospel theology, pointing us at all times back to the finished work of Christ on the cross and the new life that we have through his resurrection. That's important. That is essential. What's even more powerful than gospel proclamation, gospel preaching on its own, is a gospel community of people who live it out by the Spirit of God. You know, and as I was writing this sermon, I thought about a dozen stories. Stories of forgiveness. Stories of service. Stories of love and of compassion. And in some ways, it's hard for me to share them because I never want to leverage people's experiences for a good illustration up on this. You know, some of this stuff is private and it's heart-wrenching. But many of you know instinctively exactly what I'm talking about. Where you have had a need. You have had a hurt. And God's people have graciously stepped in and poured their love on top of you. Some of your marriages have gone through difficulty. And you have been surrounded by friends who, free of judgment, but with courage, will challenge and encourage you towards growth. Some of you have walked through health struggles. And you have seen God's people rally around you and support you and pray for you and work hard to serve you in tangible and tactile ways. You know, a number of years ago, there was a lady who was very dear to my wife and I. She had played a big part, a big role in our lives early on. She wasn't a believer, but she had come to church a few times here and there, and we really wanted to see her come to faith. And she called me one day frantically saying that her husband had just walked out on her. And the bills and, you know, he had been spending. And so there's no money left and the rent was overdue. And she was getting booted from her place. Called me in a frantic, just flurry of emotion. And I said, it's okay. We'll get you moved this weekend. Give me an hour and I'll call you back. So I picked up the phone. Started texting, started emailing, and I knew exactly what was going to happen. We're going to take care of her. And so within an hour, I was able to call her back and say, I've got half a dozen guys, I've got 10 guys that will be there on Saturday, and we'll get you moved. And some of you guys are right here in this room right now. I knew it. Of course, God's people at Summerside are going to step forward to meet this need, to care for this lady. You know, and by God's grace, through a terminal cancer diagnosis, as she was passing, she placed her faith in Christ. It was my honor to do her funeral. The gospel culture that God has worked here through you, it's not going anywhere. And it's a culture that we need to see more people brought into. Be thankful to God for the people that he has brought here and the ways that we interact and love and care for one another. Both my wife and I have been the recipients of this numerous times. When we were walking through years of infertility and hardships that come along with that and dashed hopes and expectations, you ministered to us. And we're forever grateful for that, church. This is a special church. And I hope you recognize that. Because there is nothing that Satan wants more than to cause you to shift your focus from God and in all of his glory and from the gospel culture that we have here to all these nitpicky little things that you would prefer to be different. That's what the devil wants. So be gracious. Be generous. This is a special church. I mean, we've planted churches. We've restructured our governance. We reach out well to the community, trained and discipled leaders. We had a pastoral transition that was so seamless, I always forget about it. About 3 months after I became the official lead pastor at Summerside, we completely overhauled our governance structure, a process that often takes churches years to do and a whole lot of arguing and fighting. I always boast about that to other pastors. I'm like, how long have you been working on that constitutional overhaul? Like, 6 years. And I'm like, I got mine done in 3 months. Little do they know that because Mark and I transitioned, we were able to continue momentum. And he really pushed it forward in the front end. And so it was by God's grace, it all worked out. But God has done some amazing and special things here. And I don't want you to miss that. I mean, he goes on in this passage in verse 5. Of 1 Peter 5. And look at some of these words and some of these themes that Peter is longing for the church to experience. Summerside, by God's grace, we're living it out. No, we're not perfect. Of course not. But it's happening. And be thankful for that. Look at what he says. Verse 5. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may raise you and lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert. Be sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, church. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the whole world is undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Paul says, be humble. Clothe yourself with humility. I am thankful for the humility that I have seen evidenced here. That in many ways, the whole need for pretense has kind of gone. That's the liberating truth of the gospel. I know. You don't have it all together. I know you struggle with sin. We all do. I know that because I do. And it's been such a joy for my wife and I to minister these years in a context in which we can be ourselves. When I have never felt the need to pretend that I have it all together. Oh, that Heather and I never walk through painful situations. That parenting is always super easy for us. That we never get discouraged. I've never felt the pressure to perform like that. And I am thankful to God for that. I'm thankful for you. There's a beautiful culture here that God has built through you, his people. But like a beautiful garden, it takes tending. You need to weed. You need to keep the pests out. Keep working for that culture. Keep looking for opportunities to serve, to open your home, to care for those around you. Keep building it. Now, that's why I'm excited about the future of Summerside. Let's talk about what I really want you to know. For this, I'm going to invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. Here, very simply, Paul is writing to this church in Philippi, and he tells them, this is what I want you to know about my thankfulness and my heart for you and how I pray for you. And I want to offer this same prayer, this section of Philippians to you as what I want you to walk away with. Look at what he says in verse 3. This is what I really want you to know. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or Minnesota, or I'm defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Summerside, I want you to know that I thank God for you. I'm not just thankful for my time here. I'm thankful to God for you. I know how good I've had it. I am sure that in many ways, Summerside have shaped my understanding of pastoral ministry probably more than at any other season of my life, past or present. Something in my development formative happened here. And I am so thankful that it was here and not elsewhere. I interact with pastors all of the time. And I think I don't know if I could make it in that kind of context. I couldn't put up with the stupidity. Have those battles, those kinds of fights over and over and over. I would just push and share my opinions and eventually just get fired. But instead of my first lead pastor position being something that I'm limping away from, man, it's something that I am beyond thankful to have experienced. You have been a joy to pastor because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day that we showed up until now, as Paul says. I thank God for you. Secondly, I really want you to know that you've been a ton of fun, that I have enjoyed it. I'm not just thankful for it, but I've enjoyed it. I enjoy having 15 to 25 guys that I could call up and hang out with and not dread every second of it. That I would really enjoy being with these guys. A bunch of you are here right now. What a gift to be surrounded by community like that. People that I love. People that I enjoy being with. You know, I remember on one occasion I made a huge errand judgment where on Monday, during the day, there's a group of women that meet here in the foyer, and some of them do knitting and crocheting. Are those different? No, those are the same, just in case anybody asks. I know some of you are just bristling right now because I didn't make the distinction correctly. But they'll do cross-stitching, maybe, and painting and beads, and sculpting, I think I saw one. No, maybe not. Pottery. They do all kinds of crafty, artsy stuff, right? And they also have cookies and, you know, refreshments that are out every week. And so, like, I want to be a good pastor. And so I would come out to care for them and shepherd them. And, like, when, you know, when in Rome, Right? Paul says, I became all things to all people that I may win some. So I would eat their cookies, not because I was wanted to, but because I wanted to share in the fellowship. So I'd eat a whole whack of cookies, and I'd always walk around the table and be like, so what are you working on? And they would tell me something, and it made no sense. You know, and they're like, what are you working on? Like, I'm doing a double weave cross-stitch pattern in a, you know, with 8-inch, like, it never made any sense. But I made the mistake once of saying, you guys need to make me something that I can wear. And I'm thinking like a scarf. A couple weeks later, I get a knock on my office door. And these ladies have made me something. It's a Joseph Technicolor dream coat type thing, tunic. Of all the odds and ends of the pattern, of the colors, and I think they looked at the color wheel and just chose like opposites. Right? Of like, okay, let's do brown and then orange and then red and green. And there was this, I mean, well-crafted. I got to give the ladies that much, like double hems. It was quite nice. I think I had a button on it and everything. But I made the mistake of promising that I would wear it on stage someday. And I'm pretty sure that I wore it to make announcements one Sunday. But man, we've had a ton of fun. And I'm so thankful that we have enjoyed our time here amongst you. And that's all part of that gospel culture again. That it's not like we do the spiritual stuff and then we do the friendship stuff, but it's all united under Christ. And you have been a joy to walk with. It's been hard. There have been seasons that have been hard. Because that's life. When Heather and I walked through the hardships of infertility, we had you there with us. Many of you praying for us, caring for us, loving us. We are so thankful for you. And we have had so much fun serving and ministering alongside of you. I also want you to know that I will pray for you. And I mean that. I will pray with you and cheer you on and trust that the best is yet to come. Because Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's the King of his church. That's what I want you to know, that I thank God for you, that I love you, that it's been a ton of fun, and I'll pray for you. But what I really want to say, I realize something, and you need to realize it too. It would be an HR nightmare if the elders tried to fire me right now, so I can do it and say whatever I want. So let me just share with you a few things. No, I jest. But here, if I could just say, hey, it's not rocket science. Here's how you make this next transition period be a real success. Here's a few things. Serve. Look for opportunities to get involved and serve. You see, there's this like weird snapback that happened over the last few years where because a few things were closed down, there's this almost feeling like an inability or this hesitancy that people feel to step forward and to serve. Okay, I get it. Human nature, kind of groupthink dynamics, all that kind of stuff. But at some point, it's an act of service. It's an act of obedience. So there's little serve cards right in front of you. In the seat backs. Grab one and get connected. Do you think that we have a good church here? Do you think that God's word is faithfully proclaimed here? Yes. So that means that we need to be prepared as people come to greet them, to welcome them, to care for their children, to care for the youth in our church, to serve our seniors, to work in our finance team, whatever it be. We need people to serve. The last thing you need your staff to be doing here at Summerside over the next 6 months is scrambling around looking for people to serve in ministry. Serve. It's a choice that will become a habit, and all those old muscle memory stuff is still there for serving. Here's one. Give. Let me ask you a question. If every person in this room gave like you gave, if every person in this room looked at your year-end receipts and said, okay, that's how much they give, I'll give the same, where would our church be? Devin, what about, you know, other people? Like, they have money. They're in a different life stage. They don't have kids. They don't have kids in college. Their kids aren't in private school. Somebody else will give. No, give. You know, Heather and I committed years ago to just giving 10%. Right? Give 10% to the church and then give above as the Lord leads and provides. And the Spirit of God enables me to do this. Oh, open my hand. But give. The pastors and the elders are thankful, as Pastor Luke said, about the faithfulness of God's people, of you, over the last few years. And we rejoice in that. And many of you are obeying Christ well in this. But if you're here and you call Summerside home, is what I'm talking about. This is your church home. You may have many excuses as to why you're not giving any reasonable amount, but you could also just trust God and obey Him and start giving well. Just give. Serve and give. Here's another one. Pray. Prayer is not a tag-on. And I don't want to assume it. But I mean an actual focused effort on praying for the man that God is preparing to come and take this role. Pray for him. Pray for his family. Pray that even now God would be working in his heart, preparing him. Pray. Pray for us. And if you can't commit to that, just pray until Tuesday when we cross the border, okay? After that, you know, we'll trust the Lord for the rest. But that would be a great prayer. But pray for your elders. Pray for the staff. Pray for one another. Lift God's people up that are gathered here at Summerside. Pray. And finally, live. Live it. A big part of my ministry here has been discipleship. And many of you have walked with me on that path. But consuming more knowledge, learning more, is not the end of Christian formation. Live it out. Get active. Get going. Show people the difference that Jesus has made in your life. But do it not just by showing up to church on a Sunday, dropping a few dollars in the offering plate and reading your Bible. If you live it out in your everyday. That's the whole vision and mission that Summerside is committed to. Be everyday disciples, just regular Joes and Janes who go out into their communities, go out into their workplaces, who live it out in the home and make disciples as God opens doors and provides opportunities. Live it out. Let me ask you, what is the difference between you and your neighbor who doesn't yet know Christ? You say, okay, you believe different things. That's good. That's important. That's part of it. You come to church on Sundays. There you go. That's a good start. And you read your Bible at times. Usually when other people post scripture verses online, but like still, that counts. That's all great. That's all grand. But who are you on the work site? Who are you when your annoying neighbor is looking for another conversation? How do you treat them? Who are you when you're angry in traffic? Who are you when you're frustrated with your spouse? And find freedom in Christ. Live it out and do it in your everyday. There's so much more, church, that I could say and things that I could focus on. If you forget everything else, I just want you to know this. Here's the summary, the Coles notes. Be excited about the future because Jesus is King. And I have loved you and I love you with all of my heart. I thank God for you and I praise God because of the season. As I've had time to reflect and to think back, I recognize what a gift it's been for me to serve here. This was the first place that I served as a lead pastor, and It was the perfect place by God's grace to learn and to grow. I would be and could be a very different man and pastor if God hadn't opened this door. So I thank you for that. As we conclude today, I'm going to invite you to one final time gather around the table with me. You see, the hope and the excitement that I have for Summerside in the future is not simply because the elders are so crafty that they're going to get a top-notch leader to come in and straighten out all of Devin's problems that he created. No, I'm excited about the future because Jesus is King, and that's been demonstrated to us in his substitutionary death on the cross and his literal and physical resurrection from the dead. And these elements, the bread and the cup, are a reminder to us about what he's done. They're a space of reflection where we can think deeply. It's an opportunity of worship and celebration. But Summerside, you do recognize that this is not goodbye. I mean, first of all, because I have family that live in London and I'll probably be back someday. So there's that. But from a spiritual and eternal standpoint, if, listen to me very carefully, if you and I, if we together, our families, have fellowshipped in the gospel, we will do that again and much better in the resurrection. If we have rejoiced together in the goodness of God, we will rejoice again in the new creation in a way that we can't even imagine. If we have celebrated and laughed and shared together in the gospel, we will do it again in the resurrection. It's just see you later, right? That hope is possible because of his body broken and his blood shed. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read these words. The Apostle Paul says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We do this together in remembrance of him. His body broken, his blood shed. This is the source of our hope and joy. How can sinners like you? I know you, Summerside. You're a bunch of sinners. Some of you are like, "Yeah, but I know you, Devin." That's right. How can sinners like me be forgiven and welcomed by a holy and just God? How can dead hearts be made alive? How can hearts of stone be transformed into hearts of flesh? How can God's enemies become his children? How can those who are so radically different be united together? We're celebrating it right here. His body broken, his blood shed, his resurrection from the dead. Jesus is King, and I'm excited about the future. So church, we do this together in remembrance of him. Now if you'll permit me, I shouldn't say that. I'm the guy on stage. I got a microphone. I'll do what I want, but if you'll join with me, I would like to pray a prayer over you today, committing you and committing this church to Christ our King. Join your hearts with me. Jesus, I stand here today, humbled. Amazed at your goodness. this church has been good to me, and this church has been good for me. I thank you, God, for the million ways that we have seen the gospel lived out. And I pray for Summerside. Father, I trust that the elders and the pastoral search team will do the hard work necessary to bring in somebody who will lead the church well under your leadership. And I trust, Father, that your Spirit will continue to use your word to effect change in people's hearts. Father, I truly and genuinely pray that the best, most exciting, most God-glorifying, numerical and spiritual growth days of Summerside Community Church are still in the future. And Father, I fully believe that that's the case. I thank you for each person gathered here. Would you guide and lead your church for your glory and for your honor? We ask this all in the name of the chief shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep, whose body was broken, whose blood was shed. We are thankful to you, Jesus. And we do this all for you. Amen.